Good morning. Welcome to the FTS bet slip on Thursday, the 30th of April. Good pod yesterday. Great speaking to Sam. I can't hide my affection for him. He's just a cracking lad. Really, really nice guy. Lovely family. And I think all of you sort of took elements from it, some positive feedback, which is great. That's what it's about. Just, you know, with these guest pods, one, break up the monotony of listening to me, and two, just getting outtakes from different people at trying to make it in the gambling world and just in life in general. Just, you know, you look at what Sam's been through there, and tough old times, and what an attitude he's got. You just can't do anything but admire it. It's brilliant. And on that, I'm not going to be about today. I know a few of you have sent me stuff that you want me to look at. Our daughter is having deteriorated overnight and is having an operation any time now. We're just waiting to hear. And is obviously, they're going to deliver the baby, which is only 29 weeks and about 2 pounds. So I'm sure everything will be okay, but Sammy's not on the pod today because she is in an absolute state, has hardly slept, obviously. It's the issue, really, of trying to communicate from miles away, not being able to get out there to see her with the situation. Yes, it's worrying. I'm sure I'm one of these. I'm not a Google doctor, but you read the... You try and find facts to back things up so that I can keep Sam calm, and I've been doing that, and you know, I think it's 90% of babies that go through this survive, so I'm very hopeful, but I've just got to try and keep the good lady under control today and thinking rationally as opposed to getting in a state, mothers and their babes and things. So I'm just putting everything on hold today, so those of you waiting, you just have to wait, and that's, you know, what I said yesterday about people expecting things, you know, me. I've had some great people over this period, but the amount of people also me, I just find staggering. I really do. And when you speak to somebody like Sam yesterday and see what he's like and the way other people act, it gives me a comparison. I think, Jesus Christ. Anyway, yeah, so not good, but there we go. We all have different things in life, don't we? Fingers crossed that today goes well. Just hope that my Sammy's all right. Okay, what have we got? I'm still going to do these bits. We'll do this. We don't give up. The poker is on tomorrow. Whether we'll be there, obviously, I think will depend on how things go the next day or so. But do register for the poker. The tournament will run. It's good fun. You guys crack on. I hope to be there, but I'm just going to literally see how things are. Recipe. I'm going to give you a recipe. I love this. You can't fail to love these. If you go to Vegas in Aria, there is a restaurant called Blossom, which is the finest Chinese restaurant I've ever been to. If the world gets back on track, it is where I will be having my 50th birthday dinner when we do get out to Vegas. I'm taking a few out to Vegas, or going out with a few to Vegas, when all this is over, so when we can get out there, that is where we will be eating. It's absolutely fantastic, and they do the best duck pancakes that I've ever had in my life, and they do it table side. They bring a whole duck out, carve them, they wear little white gloves and make them up for you at the table individually. But they're absolutely beautiful, stunning. I absolutely love duck pancakes. The ones you buy here, by the time you get it, it's dry crap. So I like to make my own. So I'm going to teach you how to make the duck pancakes that you would get a la Chinese style. And again, it's a good thing you can do with the kids. It's a good fun dish, isn't it, to make rolling up the pancakes and this, that and the other. So the first thing you need is a couple of duck breasts, depending on how many you're feeding. If you're feeding four, then you might want four duck breasts. And you get the duck breasts and get a tablespoon of honey and a teaspoon of Chinese five spice powder. Mix those two together and then get a brush and brush it all over the duck breast. Absolutely cover them up and top and bottom. Transfer those into a roasting tin. Put your oven on about 180, 160 fan, gas mark 4. I've learned that from Sammy. Give all the options. Brush your duck, put it in a roasting tin and put them in the oven for 25 to 30 minutes until they're bronzed. You'll see quite a bit of fat come off of duck, but the skin will go nice and bronze and crispy. So that's your duck in and done. You can make your own plum sauce. I mean, you can buy the plum sauce and pancakes, but it's much better to make your own. Very easy. The plum sauce, you get half a dozen plums, halve them and take the stone out. 50 ml of agave syrup, which is, it's almost honey-like. It's just another sweetening agent, agave syrup. All the supermarkets sell it, normally in the baking aisle. A tablespoon of soy sauce and another half teaspoon of Chinese five-spice powder. Put all the plum sauce ingredients in a saucepan. And just cook it over a medium heat for 10-15 minutes until the plums are soft and the sauce is thickening up. And then just get a blender and blend those up until it's a smooth sauce. And the pancakes, while the sauce is cooking, is literally 150 grams of plain flour mixed with 125 ml of boiling water and a pinch of salt. Mix it together till it forms a dough. The water's going to cool down. When the water's cooled down enough to handle, take that out, knead it for 5-10 minutes, then divide it into 8-10 little balls, depending on how much you've got and how many people you're feeding, and then roll those out as thin as you can. Literally just roll them almost paper thin, those balls. Brush a frying pan with a bit of oil, rapeseed oil or olive oil, and cook each pancake over a medium heat for about 20 seconds each side till they're cooked, but you don't want them going brown. So you can do those in advance, they're ready. It doesn't matter if they're hot, you do those before you do anything else. It's literally 150 grams of plain flour, boiling water, 125 ml pinch of salt, bowl, mix it together when it's cool enough to hold on to. Knead it as a dough, little balls, all the same size, roll them out thin, oil in the pan, done. Your plum sauce is cooled, then you just take your duck out the oven, let it rest for about 10 minutes till it's partially cooling, and then just shred it. Shred the meat from the skin, chop the fat bits up really fine. Don't bin them, eat them. Chop them all up, mix it all in, and then into your pancake, cucumber mixed into matchsticks, bit of spring onion again, shredded or cut really fine. Bit of plum sauce on the pancake, bit of duck breast, bit of cucumber, bit of spring onion, roll it up and whack it in the mooey. Beautiful, absolutely lovely. Honestly, much better than the stuff you buy in the old Chinese. And Chinese is great when it comes out fresh, like that restaurant in Vegas. They bring it out, you eat it fresh. But when you have these takeaways, it all comes dry and crap and shite. The pancakes are rubbish. For just the same money, you can make it yourself and have fun doing it. So that's that. That's the old duck pancakes. Somebody debated the fact of the day yesterday, saying that Battle wasn't there. It wasn't there, but then when they did name the towns, they chose Hastings because it did mean they didn't have Battle of Battle. It wasn't called Battle back then, but I got your point. But I'm getting pulled up on me. You can't have your own facts. So there you go. Don't really know what to say to that, I'll dig deeper. But it wasn't, no, Hastings wasn't there, Battle wasn't there, so there you go, flipping Battle of Battle. What have I got here? I had me facts and I've lost myself. Oh yes, this one here. For those of you with kids at home, this is staggering. We used to always go on Jack when he was younger. We called him questions, questions, questions. He asked non-stop asking questions when he was a toddler. So those of you at home now, who maybe your kids are driving you mad, the average four-year-old asks over 400 questions a day. 400. Just think about that. 400 a day. If they're up for 10 hours, that's 40 questions an hour. 40 an hour. That's flipping one every, 1.5 minutes asking a question. So I do feel for you, particularly if you haven't got gardens and things in this, if that is going on. But I saw it yesterday and I thought, that is exactly, my boy just did not stop asking questions. Why is this? Why does that do that? Why does this do that? I remember we used to take him to school when he first started sort of junior school, and pulled up on a bridge at traffic lights, and next to us pulled up a car transporter, empty one, and he asked what that was for, and said that was for transporting cars. And then he said, well, what transports the car transporters? And I thought, I can't answer this. I just can't answer it. But there you go. Yeah, so 400 questions a day. So if you've got young ones, part of me does feel for you. Stuck at home, non-stop. At least I guess when they go to sort of nursery and school, they're getting, the teachers are getting some of it. Joke of the day. This is, I'm going back to members. Steve Mander, he sent me two. You're right, Steve. Steve's put himself, I think he just wants to get in. My two jokes of the day, both stinkers. Yep, you're right, Steve. They are. I'm not going to argue. I'm not going to hide it from you. A ham sandwich walks into a bar and orders a beer. The bartender says, sorry, we don't serve food here. Yes. Yeah, crap. Hi all, well I'm back again. Right, from here on, something apparently went horribly wrong with the first podcast, so I've re-recorded this bit again, and in the time that between the first recording and the second, and we've now got Winston chiming in, I'm going to say it this way, Sam is now a grandma. We have a baby in Malta weighing under 2 pounds that unfortunately Jodie hasn't even seen. Has been whisked away to ICU, but we have spoken to Jodie and she looks and seems okay. Obviously, emotionally in a bit of trouble, but that'll sort itself out. I know it went quick last time. We've now got Winston chiming in, but let's repeat the bits of the podcast that I left out or missed last time. Or went funny. Apologies for that. I don't know what happened there. Obviously, my brain's not quite with it, and I must have clicked a button somewhere. Right. I haven't listened back to the bits that are good, so I can't remember exactly where I got to, but I don't think I've done the book of the day. The book of the day, this is a great read. This is a golfer's one. If you are a golfer, the book of the day is The Match by Mark Frost. It does actually involve a bit. Basically, it's set back in the 50s. True story. What is now the AT&T was back then the Bing Crosby Invitational, and it was sort of, it's a pro celebrity tournament. Golf obviously was a lot different back then, and amateur golf in particular. And this guy who had been a caddy to Francis Wime, who won the US Open, had gone on and become a wealthy car dealer, and he employed amateur golfers as a way, in effect, for them to fund their golf, and obviously give him a bit of kudos to be attached to these people. And he put a he had two people working for him as car salesman, inverted commas, Harvey Ward, who was the US amateur champion at the time, and Ken Venturi, who went on to be a good golfer and commentator. And the week of this Bing Crosby Invitational back in the 50s, he was quite a brash sort of outspoken guy sitting at a dinner in someone's house boasting that his two golfers can beat anyone. There's another millionaire at the table who's got fed up listening to it, basically, and has said, how can you prove it? You know, how can you prove that these two can't be beat? And he basically says to him, pick any two golfers you like, turn up, and I'll turn up with my two boys, and they'll give them a good pasting. And this guy goes and gets the next day or the day after, they've arranged this game, and he turns up with Byron Nelson and Ben Hogan, who arguably were the two greatest golfers of that time, then before Nicholas and that came along. And they play a four-ball match, and basically it's the story of that. It's a true story. Absolutely brilliant, thrilling read. I mean, if you're interested in golf, it's a magnificent read. They play at Cypress Point, which is sort of one of the mystique golf courses in near Pebble Beach on Monterey. You can't play it unless you're with a member. Somewhere I'd love to go. Absolutely fascinating story, and they have a bet and things. Just, it really is a good read. It's a good read for anybody, but if you're interested in golf, it's a must read. So that is The Match by Mark Frost, who actually also wrote the Greatest Game Ever Played, which was made into a movie. He wrote that book as well. All his golf books are good. He's written three. I think the other one's Grand Slam, but The Match was one I really, really enjoyed. Loved the book. And again, I've just I had the paperback version. I've just, as I've been talking to you, bought it for on the Kindle to read again. And I started that book I gave yesterday. I don't know whether I said this in the first part. The Perfect Bet. which was recommended by Dio. I have I bought that and started reading it last night. I couldn't sleep, so I read the first few chapters of that, thoroughly enjoying it. I will report back on that. As I say, that's the first one that I put up that I hadn't actually read, but I started last night. So there we go. Right. And Mark, what was the other bit? Oh, stat of the day. That's the bit there. And I wanted to do this because it was a particular. I said yesterday, if people have any particular stats they'd like me to look at. And Dave Abbott sent me an email the other day, and I will read it out, basically saying that. Basically saying, I'll read it out. Hi Ian, I'm a podcast listener and Friday poker attendee. After listening that you may be running out of things to look at for stat of the day, I was wondering if you could run something for me and see what comes out. I got the idea from something I read a while back regarding 50-50 chances when the market indicates it could go either way. If the odds are slightly in our favour, then mathematically over time it should make a profit. So the parameters he wants me to look at are match odds backing the draw between 3.5 and 4.2. And while that filter's in place, looking at laying under 2.5 goals between 1.8 and 1.99. So I obviously don't know how he's come up with these figures myself, but I'm going to run them for you. I've got about 23,000, 22,000 games in this database, David. In fact, let's be precise and tell you the exact number I did in the first recording. We have got 22,996 games. Of those games, backing the draw between 3.5 and 4.2, and these are Betfair prices 5 minutes before the off, backing the draw between 3.5 and 4.2, there are 10,759 games now that qualify, and laying under 2.5 goals between 1.8 and 1.99 in those games. I'm hoping this is what you wanted. This is how I've read your email. Laying under 2.5 in those games loses 30.43 points and takes the number of games down to 2,568. So where the draw is between 3.5 and 4.2 to back, and the under 2.5 is between 1.8 and 1.99 to lay, you would have had 2,568 games and lost 30 points on Betfair. That is to 5p commission, admittedly. These sheets, when they were set up, were 5p, and it's too big a job to change them to what most people are on 2p now. So it would be slightly better than that with 2p, but that is the numbers based on a 5p commission. You then have asked, can I look at same as above, but laying over two? So let me clear the under filter and laying over 2.5 in the same bracket. So laying over 2.5 between 1.8 and 1.99. And that, from those 10,000 games that qualified for that draw bracket, takes that to 3,542 games in that bracket, and that loses on the draw 186 points and loses laying over 2.5 139 points. So neither of the outcomes make a profit in either the match odds or the over 2.5 market. David, I hope that is what you wanted. As I say, anybody else wants me to run anything, then let me know and I will do it for you as it comes. Right, I think that was all I said. I think, as I say, I don't know what happened with the first recording. Apologies for that. That is it. Things have changed very dramatically in the last hour in between these recordings, as I say. So I'm going to go and see my good lady wife and make sure she's all right. And she's probably ringing all the family. Thank you for listening. And I'll be back with you tomorrow morning. As I say, I'm not going to be doing much for the next 24 hours. Just get me around all this and what exactly is happening. With regard, I think the baby's obviously going to have to stay in hospital for a fair amount of time, what exactly the situation is. So if you leave that with me, anything else can wait for the minute, and I'll hopefully all be back to normal by time the weekend's over. But I'll be back with a podcast tomorrow morning.